Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who calls us all, each one, to be his body, the church, called by his name, not only here in this place, but as we go our separate ways. And it's really important that that church is not just a building that we gather in, but a people who we belong to, that we are part of God's church, the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. That's an important part of this world. It comes from on high. You know, we don't decide to become the church. Jesus decides that we become the church. And when we have these moments of baptism and confirmation, it reminds us more deeply that it's not our call. It's God's call that he's placed on our lives to come and to be a part of what God is doing in our lives. I was baptized in 1977. That's a long time ago. 41 years ago. In July of 1977. Right about the time that this church was down in a little place called Scalp Level and was being flooded with great waters. And here it was, your pastor, about that same time, all those years ago, in a little church called Carmichael's, being baptized on that same month. I really find that ironic. But I know that without the floodwaters that destroyed that old building, we wouldn't be up here, would we? We wouldn't have this beautiful place. We wouldn't have this beautiful sanctuary. We would still have a great building. It would be down in Scalp Level. But I think that God really knows what God is doing. And wants this place to shine up here on the hill. One of your previous pastors, Art Moffat, called it the lighthouse on the hill. Then the place that can shine throughout Winbur. And I really like that. But my challenge to you, church, is lighthouses don't move. But the light can go out into the world. And that's what we need to do. I can remember this one. I can't remember my baptism, but I remember April 22nd, 1990, which was the day when I was confirmed as a member of the church, where the vows of baptism I took for myself as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And I still have the Bible over there, and next week it'll be 28 years, 38 years? I don't know, 28 years. It's been a long time. But I remember that. I remember that moment as when my pastor Dave Hughes laid hands on my head and said words to affirm my commitment to Jesus Christ. And we're going to celebrate that today with Jenna. And what a joy it is to see people coming to those strong commitments in Jesus Christ. Whether it's parents, you're going to be okay. You all right? Yeah. Get it all out. Or is Jenna coming to make a strong commitment to Jesus Christ here in his place and to this church? It's a good day. I'm glad you're here. And I know that you're not here by accident. It's the Spirit who called us all to be part of this today. I want you to come with me into Scripture, to the book of Acts, to a strange story found in the fifth chapter of Acts about this man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira. I invite you to listen, because the Holy Spirit uses the Scripture to speak to us even today. So even though these words were written long, long ago, almost 2,000 years, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, they speak to us here in Scalp Level Trinity today. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for this land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all those who heard about these events. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, friends? Lord, this is a challenging piece of Scripture, but we know that your Spirit has inspired it, and it is true today for our hearts. Help us to understand and to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, imagine a revival type event where the preacher is literally knocking them dead. And that's the moment where you realize, oh, what have I gotten myself into? There's a little bit of backstory that we have to talk about when we talk about Ananias and Sapphira. So we're going to roll the tape back a little bit because this is a strange portion of Scripture if we take it out of its context. Scripture should never be just taken out of its context. There's always more to the story, and this is certainly the case. This is a moment soon after the Pentecost, the moment when the church, by tongues of fire, they went out and they preached, and many people were saved in one day, and the church was growing, and part of their commitment to Christ was a complete and total giving of their property to the church, so that the church could provide for their needs, and the people could provide for the needs of the church. We're not talking about communism or socialism here. There's no governmental authority over this. This is the people out of the great movement of the Holy Spirit being called to nothing less than giving of everything they have to the church so that the church might fulfill its obligations and care for all of the people who were within it. Nobody had to do that. It was a movement within themselves of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing more that I can do, and nothing less than to give everything I have to God. And so that's what they did. And along come Ananias and Sapphira, seeing this movement of the Spirit, seeing these people coming into the just like we did with the drugs this morning, coming in with the whatever they have and laying it at the feet of the apostles. And what a powerful scene that must have been. And this Ananias and Sapphira say, "We want in on that. I want in on what's going on over there." And so they sell their piece of land. And friends, they could have kept that entire amount. They were under no obligation to give any of that to the church. They could have come to the apostles and said, "Here's 10%, because that's a tithe. I'm going to give some portion of what I have to God." And that would have been just fine. They could have given 5%. They could have given 0%. They could have given 50%. But all they had to do was say, "Here's my vow. And I'm giving this to the church because the Spirit's moved me to give this much, but to keep some for myself." But that's not what they did. Instead, they go to the church and they say, "Here's all the money that we got from that." While meanwhile, keeping some portion of it in their pocket for a rainy day. Unfortunately, a rainy day came that very day. And when Peter confronted Ananias, he fell down dead. Quite a change to the revival meeting when someone just falls over dead for abusing the Holy Spirit, lying to the Holy Spirit. I think if we had that kind of movement in the church, we would greatly reduce our attendance if people were coming in and dropping dead when they lied. Because I can guarantee you, there are many of us who have lied, even within the walls of the church. And the Holy Spirit has chosen out of His mercy to not, you know, strike us dead the very moment that we say these things. But we do make commitments, don't we? We do make commitments to the Holy Spirit. We do make commitments to the church. And the Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit today as all those years ago. And so when we come together as Christ's body to church and we have moments like this, we got to take those seriously, friends, because it's a big deal to the Holy Spirit when we get together and we say vows, when we make commitments to each other, when we make commitments to the church. It's a big deal. So when we gather together and we have a baptism, there's part of that where you know, we're asking you, mom and dad, for some pretty serious stuff. Take this seriously. This is such a big moment, not only for your child, but for you as well. And family who is gathered here today, you're going to make some promises to watch over this little one and make a commitment to help them to see Jesus in their lives. And church, you're making a commitment as well, making a vow to watch over these little ones. I'm asking you for a lot, but it's not me, is it? It's the church. It's the Holy Spirit who's asking you to do these things. Someday I'll go to another church, but those commitments will remain. The Holy Spirit won't leave with me. The Holy Spirit will work mightily in the next pastor as well. We have to take our obligations seriously because the Holy Spirit takes our obligations seriously. When we make vows to be part of the church, what do we say with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and yes, our witness as well? We got to take those obligations seriously because the Holy Spirit takes those obligations seriously. Holy Spirit is not standing at the door of the church saying, okay, here's who's here today, and marking them off like that. But I guarantee you the Holy Spirit is not pleased when any excuse that we could come up with is good enough to not go to church on a Sunday morning. I think there's no better place to be on a Sunday morning than right here, but, you know, we all got different ways of thinking about things. But I know the Holy Spirit wants you connected to the church. And if it's not here, then go someplace and find that connection. You know, we're not everybody's cup of tea, but the Holy Spirit will work all sorts of places, but not on the golf course. I get plenty of Holy Spirit as I'm swinging a club on the back nine. No, you don't. No, you don't, church. Get those kind of thoughts out of your heads and be willing to confront those who think that's an idea of you know, being present with the Lord on a Sunday or some moment where you can get together and experience the church together as God's family. Boy, oh boy. Vows are important, but God's not asking for everything, in this story anyway. All he was asking for was truthfulness, to be willing to make a vow and keep it. Ananias and Sapphira, they had made up their mind that they were going to lie to God before they even said the words. They'd made their choice before they said the words out of their mouths. The Holy Spirit knew that was coming. And when they did, I don't think the Holy Spirit took glee in striking down Ananias and Sapphira. Far from it. I think the heart of God was broken that day because here are these people who God deeply loves, Ananias and Sapphira. Who Jesus was willing to die for on the cross, that they might have eternal life. But they made a conscious choice to lie to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes that seriously. And I think that if we really think about it, church, there are many situations where we know that in our hearts, we've done the exact same thing. I wish I could stand before you and say, I have never lied to God. But I know that I have. I know that I am just as deserving as Ananias and Sapphira to be struck down. But it's God's grace allows me to continue and to do the work that God's called me to do. I know that we can think of those situations in all of our lives. Rather than say, whoo, got out of that one. What if we made a deeper commitment to be truthful to God? What if we made a deeper commitment to ask God to give us the ability to be truthful, completely truthful with God? Because God's completely truthful with us and asks for nothing less than to return that. I pray that that is what we are able to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be truthful with God and be truthful with the church. That when we make vows today, that we take them seriously. When we make vows of marriage, we take them seriously. When we make vows with our neighbor to watch over each other, to care for each other, to be the church, that we take those seriously. Because I know that God does. God loves you. And so do I. Amen.